So yes, we know he wrote all these pieces, but no, they don't exist, and we have no idea what they were or weren't like. The first string quartet to be published was his Opus 51. Brahms also had a huge problem getting out his first symphony. I mean, this takes on, it takes on the lines of an epic poem, this desire to get out the first symphony. Brahms sat on his first symphony for nearly 20 years, making sketches in the late 1850s, but still saying in 1872 that he would, quote, never, never write a symphony. You can't have any idea what it's like always hearing the giant marching behind you, unquote. It was late in 1876 when he finally released this symphony, almost 20 years in the making, for public performance. And friends and foes alike called it Beethoven's 10th. Now, the terror of Beethoven behind him, because getting this symphony out in 1876 was a cathartic thing for Brahms. Once this symphony was out of the way, he quickly began writing large-scale works. The Symphony No. 1, again, 1876. Symphony No. 2, 1877. The Violin Concerto, 1878. Piano Concerto No. 2, 1881. Symphony No. 3, 1883. Symphony No. 4, 1884. That's a very active 8 years, and this doesn't count all the chamber music being written in these years also. It was as if the public performance of that first symphony was the laxative his brain needed just to start writing big pieces, not to be self-conscious. Now, his mature personality was a spiky one. He was an uncompromising man, prickly, tough, ultra-sensitive, cynical, bad-tempered. I think he'd be a great person to have dinner with for the most part. I just would try not to insult him. He had his generous side. If he was interested in a composer, as he was in the case of Dvorak, he would move heaven and earth to help him. But he was interested in very few living composers. He never had any hesitation speaking his mind, and sometimes his comments could be brutally contemptuous. For example, Max Bruch, a well-thought-of composer in his day, and Bruch's G minor violin concerto is still in the repertoire today, sent Brahms the manuscript of an oratorio named Arminius. Brahms looked it over. One day, shortly thereafter, Bruch and Brahms were dining together, and they heard a hurdy-gurdy, a very simple, raw-sounding folk instrument. They heard a hurdy-gurdy across the street. "Listen, Bruch," Brahms shouted, "that fellow has gotten hold of your Arminius." "That's so nasty. That's so rude, especially when you're as good and famous as Brahms." I mean, Brahms must have thought that this was a hysterical joke, but Bruch must have gone back to his house and tried to open his veins. These are the things that make our lives not worthwhile when they happen. There was a story current in Vienna at this time that Brahms left a party by saying, quote, "If there's anyone here I have not insulted, I apologize," unquote. All of Brahms's biographers are unanimous in saying that beneath the gruff exterior was a heart of gold. That appears to have been true, but it did not make it easier on his friends, who had to put up with a bluntness that often bordered on the pathologically antisocial. Even such devoted and lifelong friends as Clara Schumann and Joseph Joachim were the occasional victims of Brahms's bad attitude. I would add that Robert Schumann died soon after Brahms met him, about 18 months after Brahms met him. And Brahms moved in with Clara, by then, the 7 Schumann children. There's no doubt that Brahms was deeply in love with Clara. She was, I think, 13 or 14 years his senior. She was exquisitely talented, highly refined, and very, very beautiful. It was an unrequited love. There's no evidence that they ever consummated any kind of relationship, and Clara wore black until the day she died. She stayed in mourning for the next 35 years. Brahms, for his part, wrote Clara a lot of music and stayed generally in very close touch with her. She predeceased Brahms by just a few weeks' time. And again, one wonders to what degree, having lost that one person in his life, that one woman in his life, to which he was most close. Brahms never married, by the way. There were never any grandchildren to show pictures of, so the letter from Joachim really did have to do. Clara's death really, in many ways, removed Brahms from that part of his past that had kept him youthful. And he followed her fairly quickly, despite the fact that they did not live together and were separated by a considerable distance. It was a very spiritual relationship, and one that I'm surprised has not yet made the motion picture screen. In any case,